You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
If you have been tracking along with us, you know that we are going through the book of Mark for the entire year. And we spent the last, I think, three messages on just chapter one. And so this morning, we're going to look into chapter 2. My desire is, as your pastor, is by the end of this year as a church family, we are going to have a fresh look of this Jesus and see, you know, how he came to be our servant and our savior. And that's going to help us on our journey as followers of Jesus Christ. That's my desire. My dream as a pastor is to see every one of us just grow in our walk as followers of Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bible, this is a good time to turn to Mark chapter 2. It's also a great time to open up the church app. If you haven't got the church app, just simply download the church app via, I think, the church website, or go to Google or Apple Store and just find the Sun Life Church app. Because on the app, there's today's notes and the verses of study. Now, in chapter 2, let me just give you an idea of what's going on before we dive into the text. This is the first of many controversies, okay? You see in Mark lots of tension and friction between Jesus and the scribes or the teachers of the law. One of many controversies which would lead ultimately to the arrest and persecution of Jesus Christ. Now, if you remember from last week, at the end of chapter 1, remember Jesus heals the leper, remember? Jesus heals the leper and there's a swap. The leper goes back into the town rejoicing, having a great time. But Jesus is where he's left back out in the wilderness, right? He does ministry out there for some time. And when we get to chapter 2, a period of time has just passed. Things have settled and Jesus now makes his way back into the town. He heads back home. It could be his hometown, but most likely Peter's house, right? He heads back to Peter's house and word has it that he's about to teach. He's about to preach because remember, this new teacher has authority in the way he preaches and everyone goes, well, Jesus is in town. He's preaching. Let's go and check him out. And now we've got this crowd of people just wanting to hear what Jesus has to say. So if you have your Bible, turn now to Mark chapter 2. And my agenda for this morning is I want to look at three different groups of people. I want to look at these three groups of people and hopefully draw out some application for us to be better followers of Jesus Christ. I'm going to look at the faithful friends. There's a group of people in the story, the faithful friends, the suspicious scribes, and lastly, the loving Lord. And that's the three areas that I want to look into and hopefully draw out some application for us to be better followers of Jesus Christ. And if you're taking notes, by the way, in the church app, I've got like little blanks. Typical teacher, right? Fill it in, right? And I know some of you are just taking photos right now because you're lazy. Just want to take a snapshot and then you can do your homework afterwards. That's okay. No one's watching. I'm not watching. Holy Spirit is watching. So I'm going to pray and we'll get to work. Is that all right? Let's pray. Father God, I pray now that you would help me to engage with your amazing word, to speak your truth to your people. And I pray that we would lean in and hear something fresh from you. Lord, would you humble me? Would you help me to speak your word with truth, with reverence, with authority, with passion, clarity. Be with us. Those joining online, also help us to lean in and listen, to engage in this time. Thank you so much, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, are we ready to go? The first group, I call them the faithful friends. All right, look in the text with me, verses 1 and 2. And when he, that's Jesus, returned to Capernaum after some days, so remember Jesus is some days out in the outer region, it was reported that Jesus, that's he, was at home. The home here is most likely Peter's home. Remember, Peter's mother-in-law, she had the fever. Well, he's gone back there, right? Verse 2, and many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. Let's stop there. Jesus is now preaching the word. He's sharing this amazing message. I would imagine people are just standing, Right? It's standing room. People are crowded in the living room, lounge room. It's throughout the hallway. And now they're blocking the entrance door. You can't get in. All right, this is an amazing young teacher. He's got authority. We want to hear what he has to say. It's great. Okay, let's continue on. Verse 3 and 4. And they came. The they here means there's a group of people, not necessarily four. It could have been more than four. But there were four, right, that carried the paralytic. Verse 4, right? And when they could not get near him, that's Jesus, because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. Let's stop right there. There's a group of friends, faithful friends. They heard that this Jesus is in town teaching away. And they want to bring their friends to Jesus, because word is out that this Jesus is a miracle worker. I mean, word is out that he healed a leper. Word is out that he went to Peter's house and Peter's mother-in-law, she had a fever. Instantly, she was healed. I mean, word was out that at a church gathering, there's one person who was possessed with an evil spirit, an unclean spirit, and Jesus cast out this spirit. These friends are like, if we can get our paralyzed friend to Jesus, something's going to happen. Whatever it took, let's get him to Jesus. But I'm pretty sure that when they got there and they saw the crowd, they were pretty disappointed. I mean, a lot of us here, let's be honest, like when we go to a crowded place and we have to line up, that we have to force to line up just to get to the counter or to get somewhere, we get a bit disappointed. Just recently, I was at Wet n Wild up in the Gold Coast, and we were driving into Wet n Wild, and in the car park, we looked and there was a huge line, like at least 100 to 200 meters long, just to get into the theme park. Like, I was so discouraged. And I said to Trent, do we really want to line up? And I know that once you get into Wet n Wild, you still got to line up to get into a ride. Do you know what I'm talking about, right? There was one time my boys and I, we lined up for nearly 1 hour. 1 hour for a ride that lasted probably 10 seconds. It's like, you can't be bothered. And I remember seeing families and couples looking at the long line and saying, we just don't want to stay here. We want to go to the next ride. And I can imagine these four friends would have been pretty discouraged. We're going to line up for this Jesus. But they were different. They had a faith in Jesus that if they knew that if we can bring our paralyzed friend to Jesus, something would happen. They wouldn't give up. Jesus saw their faith. They found a way. Look in verse 5. Let's carry on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. And as I read through this here, I realize that these faithful friends had a type of faith that really inspired me. Firstly, they had a faith in Jesus that allowed them to be relentless. They were persistent. They were determined. They didn't want to give up. I mean, the text is very, very clear, right? They got there, they saw the crowd. They couldn't get through the front door because of the crowd blocking them. So they went onto the roof. They went onto the roof and they realized there's no manhole, there's no opening. So they dug through the roof. And they realized there's no ladder or any rope to abseil down. So they lowered their friend down. They were so determined. Obstacles upon obstacle, it would not hinder them. That's relentless. That's persistent. And we see that in them. I also noticed they had a faith that was fearless. They weren't afraid. They weren't afraid to do the crazy thing so that their friends would meet Jesus. If you think about the context here, to get your paralyzed friend up onto the roof, it was dangerous. You had to be courageous. Many scholars would say that one of the ways that they got their friends up would have been through the house next door. Most of the houses back then had these steps that would go up to the roof. These steps were actually built on the side of the house. But if Peter's house was so crowded, there was no way to access the steps at Peter's house. So they would have gone to the next door house, get their paralyzed friend up onto the roof of the next door neighbor, and then somehow managed to get their paralyzed friend to Peter's house. The roofs those days were made of with a slope. Very unstable. I mean, the courage to carry your paralyzed friend up there and praying and hoping that you wouldn't drop him, it was fearless. They were not afraid. They would do anything to get their friend there. It was also a selfless faith. It was sacrificial. Let me ask you this question, church. Who do you think paid for the damaged roof? Imagine one day, you know, I'm preaching away and word has it that this guy's a great preacher and everyone's packing at Sun Life Church and they can't get through and you really want to hear me preach because your connection at home is really, really bad. So you thought, I got to hear him preach, but there's no way in. So you decide to climb up this building here and you decide to, I don't know, break in. Church is not going to pay for the damage. You will. You know? And so these friends here knew that it's going to be costly. It's a sacrifice. And they did this. And the application for us today, Sun Life Church, is this. Is that every one of us here, we need to have faithful friends who have their faith in Jesus Christ so that there are days when we cannot get off our mat. They will do whatever it takes to get us closer to Jesus. We all need faithful friends. Because there'll be days when we are low in our spirit, we are dry spiritually, when we cannot be bothered and we want to give up. And we need faithful friends, a faith that is relentless, fearless, and selfless to do whatever it takes to draw us closer to Jesus. And I believe as a community of faith here, we need each other on this journey called discipleship. We are not to do it alone. We cannot do it alone. It is too hard to be a follower of Jesus Christ by yourself. Don't do it solo. You need people to do it with you. For some of us, listen carefully, the new thing for us this year is to find faithful friends. We need to find people who will help us draw closer to Jesus. And that means for some of us, you have to get uncomfortable and do things that you've never done before. It may be for some of us is to find a connect group to be part of, to find a community of people who will speak into our situation, to care for us and to help us move forward. Maybe it is simply to join a ministry, whether it's young adults or youth or be part of a serving team, to get to know other people, to have a mentor, to have someone who would speak into our situation. We need to do whatever we can to find people who can help us on this journey of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And maybe for some of us, the new thing is for us to be that faithful friend. That God is calling you to be faithful to someone who's struggling here at Sun Life Church. Maybe it's time for us to invite them over and have a meal. Immediately after service, get them out and have some lunch, get to know them and ask them, can we do this journey together? Like, can I journey with you, brother and sister? And you never know, you could be the answer to their prayer that they have been praying to God and asking God, if you would send someone to help me so that I can be a better follower of Jesus Christ, that you could be the answer to their prayer. And I know with COVID, I know with all the restrictions and obstacles that we're facing today as a city, as a state, don't give up. Don't say it's too hard. Be relentless. Be selfless. Be fearless. Be creative. Find ways to meet up. We need each other more and more in a time like this. Which one are you? Are you the one who needs faithful friends, or are you the one who will be a faithful friend to someone here at church? We need each other so that we can be better followers of Jesus Christ. Do not do discipleship alone. It is too hard, friends, especially in a season like this. Let me also say this. In the text, we notice that when the four friends lowered their paralyzed friend down, and what did Jesus say? He says, son, your sins are forgiven, right? And I would imagine the four friends would have been very disheartened. Like, Jesus, you're kidding me. We've gone all the hard work to get our friend up into the roof. We've dug a hole through the roof. We've carefully lowered him down, and all you're going to say is your sins are forgiven. And we were hoping for a miracle. We were hoping that you would heal his legs. But what we see in the text is this, is that Jesus saw something greater. He saw the deeper issue and not the surface issue. You see, the deeper issue is spiritual. What's the point having two healthy legs and then walking straight into hell? We need to find friends who will speak into the deep issues and not the surface issue. Friends who find their faith in Jesus, who have the courage to say, can I talk about something that you have been avoiding? Something that you need to hear, not that you want to hear. And that's what we need. We need friends around us to address the deep issues and not the surface issues. We need friends around us who have the courage to say, I want to talk about that. I know it's going to be uncomfortable. I know it may jeopardize our friendship, but I want to talk about that. Can we just talk about that? Can we pray into that? Can we just really ask God to have give us wisdom in that matter? That's the type of faithful friends that we need. And I guarantee you, if we have those faithful friends, this journey of discipleship is going to be a lot easier. And if you don't have those faithful friends around you, can I be an assistant? Let me know. Let me introduce you to some of these people in this church here. And you never know, that journey of discipleship will be a lot easier than you think it is. Amen? So that's the first thing we see right there. The second thing we see right here are the suspicious scribe. Look at verse 6. Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their heart. We stop right there. The scribes are sitting there. I love how Mark would say they were sitting there because everyone else, they were standing. So in other words, the scribe, they got there early. They heard that Jesus was about to teach. They found out where, Peter's house. They got there early, front row. They're sitting there, they're very suspicious. They want to hear what Jesus has to say. Is he really that good? Like, does he really have authority and power? Is he biblically correct? I mean, he's just a 30-year-old rookie. He can't be that great, can he? And they're sitting there. And they want to hear what Jesus has to say because these scribes or teachers of the law, they knew their Bible. They knew their stuff. And when Jesus made the comment, son, your sins are forgiven, that really rocked them because everyone knew that all sins are directed towards God and the only person that can forgive is God himself. Verses like this, Psalms 103, verse 1 to 3. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord, my soul, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. They knew that verse. They knew Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnants in his inheritance? They knew Exodus 34, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. They knew those verses. They knew their Bible. They knew that only God would forgive sin. So when Jesus made the bold claim, son, your sins are forgiven, Jesus says that I am he. I am God. I'm the one who forgives. I'm your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you can imagine how these scribes got so upset. How dare this Jesus claim to be our God? How dare this Jesus claim to say he has the power to forgive sin? And you can see their reaction in verse 7. He says, why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sin but God alone? Can you see that? They're like, this is ridiculous, ludicrous. This 30-year-old rookie, punk, claiming to forgive sin. Who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sin. Look in verse 8 and 9. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they have questioned within themselves, said to them, why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? This is the first controversy between Jesus and the scribe. He poses a question, what's easier? Church, let me ask you that question. Seriously, it's not a trick question. What's easier? To say to someone, your sins are forgiven, or rise, take your mat and walk? What's easier? Think about it. I mean, you come to me and I say to you, oh, by the way, Jesus loves you, your sins forgiven. Or you come to me and you can't walk and I say, oh, by the way, stand up, you can go home now, get off your wheelchair. What's easier? Obviously, the unseen, right? The thing that's unseen. So when Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, that's the easy option because it's invisible. right? It's a spiritual thing, right? It's internal. The whole standing up, you're a paralytic, start walking and then go and leave, that's much harder. That's in the physical. So now we have a bit of a tension. There's a bit of a conflict now. And friends, can I say this? That when we choose to follow Jesus, when we make the decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and I know the majority of you have done that, it's not going to be easy. Jesus once said this, that when you decide to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You have to pick up your cross. In other words, you've got to crucify all the things that you once loved that is not from God. Jesus also said that the road, the path will be narrow, not wide. And Jesus said this in John 15, that if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Friends, we need to understand this, that the people were suspicious towards Jesus back then, and today there will be people who are suspicious towards his followers. There are going to be people who are going to be suspicious towards you and me. And that's the cost of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And maybe for some of us, you've experienced the cost already. You've heard people make comments like, you know, why are they spending Sunday morning going to church, hearing that guy rambling on and on and on? Why? Really, is Jesus going to change their situation? It's hopeless. I mean, why are they giving money away to that guy who only works for, what, 30 minutes on Sunday? You know, like you're going to hear these comments. People are going to be suspicious towards you because you've choose to follow Jesus. But here's the wonderful thing. Are you ready? Here's the wonderful thing. It gives us an opportunity to show people something they've never seen before. Jesus knew that these scribes were suspicious towards him, and he was about to show them something they've never seen before. And you and I today, when people are suspicious towards you because you've decided to follow Jesus, you have a wonderful opportunity to show the world something they've never seen before. Maybe it's a radical love, that you can love your enemies, that you can still pray for your enemies and turn the other cheek. Maybe it's a radical generosity, that you are not only radical with your finances, but generous with your time, your presence, your prayer. Maybe it's a radical story, a testimony that God did answer your prayer that you can share. It's a wonderful opportunity for you and I to show the world something that they've never seen before if they're suspicious towards you being a follower of Jesus Christ. I love D.L. Moody. I quote him, out of 100 men, one will read the Bible. The other 99 will read the Christian. They will read you. They will watch you. And if they're suspicious towards you because you've decided to follow Jesus Christ, bring it on. I have an opportunity to show them something they've never seen before. Whether it's my love for Jesus, my love for my neighbors, my family, my children. What a great opportunity. And that's my encouragement for us, knowing that there will be people who are suspicious. That's okay. Don't get angry. Don't be upset. But rather, use it as an opportunity to show them something they've never seen before. Amen. So now we have the loving Lord. Look at what Jesus would do next in verse 10 onwards. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed or your mat and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and he went out before them all. So they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never saw anything like this. And we stop right there. You see what Jesus does? He says, I want to show you that I have authority. He does something in the visible to say, I have authority over the visible and the invisible. He does something in the natural to say that I have authority over the natural and the supernatural. He does something in the physical to say that I have authority over the physical and the spiritual. He says that I am the Son of God. I am the Son of Man. You know the phrase Son of Man that you see in the gospel? Jesus is the only one who uses that phrase for himself. No one calls him the Son of Man except Jesus. And the Son of Man, if you know your Bible, is in reference to Daniel in the Old Testament. In Daniel chapter 7, there's a prophecy of the Son of Man who comes down on a cloud. He draws to the Ancient of Days, the Holy One. And the Most High gives him glory and authority. And the Son of Man, he ushers in his new kingdom, right? He's ruler of this new kingdom, and he welcomes people into this new kingdom. So when Jesus says that I am the Son of Man, he is saying to the scribe, what you've read and what you've studied in Daniel chapter 7, I am he. I am here standing before you, and I have the authority to say your sins are forgiven. And when this paralyzed man picked up his mat and walked out, they realized that this was the Son of Man. The one that Daniel was prophesizing in chapter 7, that he was there in the flesh. Friends, let me say this. The paralytic that walked out holding his mat, a mat that once defined him, a mat that once he was attached to, on that great day, he walked out holding the mat. In other words, this mat no longer defined him. Do you understand that? For many years, I don't know, maybe from the point of birth, this paralyzed man was attached to this mat. He was on it. That was him. But on that great day, he stood up and he picked up the mat and he says, no, I am now in control of this. Can I say that prophetically, what Jesus says is that for some of us, we are still attached to something. Something of the past. Something that we have done that we're not proud of. Maybe it's our upbringing. Maybe it's something that keeps haunting us. We can't shake it off. It makes us feel guilty. It makes us feel ashamed. It's what defines us. We feel paralyzed by it. But do you know the loving Lord? He offers us something great. He offers us forgiveness. He offers us a new relationship. He offers us a new start. He offers us a new life. He offers us freedom. That's what he does right there. Jesus once said in John 8, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Friends, can I say for some of you, there's still a mat that defines you. That it's got this stronger hold. Maybe it's got the upper hold. And Jesus says, I offer you freedom. I offer you the ability to get off that and never ever be attached to that ever again. I want you to know that there is always forgiveness in Jesus. He's a loving Lord. He's a great God. He offers that. Do you know of this loving Lord? Do you know that on the cross he died so that he would set you free? He died so he gives you freedom. It gives you new life. It gives you a new start. Do you know of this loving Lord? I want you to know that he loves you. I want you to know that what he did to the paralytic, he can do to you and to me. And for some of us, you're saying, no, it's impossible. I'm forever bound to this stronghold, this past, whatever has happened to me. That's who I am. I'm sorry. I can't shake it off. I want you to know that Jesus can. He can tell you, stand up and leave. Walk in freedom. You can hold this whatever stronghold and leave it. Because what Jesus did here was prophetic. Because on the cross, he did that for humanity. On the cross, he died so that every one of us, whatever we are attached to, and it's sin, we can be released from sin. I don't know if some of you this morning, you've come here for the first time, and you're like, Pastor, I still struggle with something from the past. There's something that seems to weigh me down. Something that, you know, maybe I'm still attached to. I want to detach it. The answer is Jesus. The answer is to Jesus. I want you to know that there are people here in this church here who want to be your faithful friends. We want to help you. We want to draw you closer to Jesus because we believe that we don't have the answer, that we don't have the faith. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the object of our faith, and he is the one who can help you detach from whatever is holding you down, weighing you down. I want you to know that in Jesus, he's a loving God. He's a loving Lord. He forgives. He forgives. You don't have to be defined by whatever mat you're still attached to. You can be defined by the love of God in Christ Jesus. He offers that to everyone, everyone, you and me. So I am led now to ask us to close our eyes and just bow our heads. And I want to ask if there's anyone here this morning that you have been coming to church, or all those joining us online, you have something that's really weighing you down, something that's really holding you from moving forward, something that identifies you. I want you to know that the loving Lord Jesus, He offers freedom. He offers you the ability to get off from whatever that mat that's holding you, defining you, to set you free. So I'm going to ask this question, as I usually ask every week. If there's anyone here this morning that you say, "Hey, Pastor, I've done some things in the past that I'm not proud of. I know that I'm a Christian. I know that I choose to follow Jesus, but this thing keeps haunting me. It keeps coming back. It's like every time I think of it, it makes me feel so bad. It weighs me down." I want to pray for you. I want you to know that the loving Lord, He has the ability to forgive you, and He does, to set you free, to tell you, rise, take your mat, and go home, go in freedom. So, all eyes closed. I'm going to ask you, is there anyone here that I can pray for? Stuff that you've done. Yes, just raise your hand. Yep, I see your hand. Yep, great. Anyone else that I could pray for? I see. Yes, thank you. Anyone else say, "Hey, Pastor, pray for me. I've done some stuff that I'm not proud of. It's weighing me down. I just need the Holy Spirit just to remind me right now that I'm forgiven." Anyone else? Just raise your hands. Thank you. Anyone else? Right. For those joining us online at home, if that is you too, I want you to know that I'm praying for you if you've raised your hands. Let me pray. Father God, thank you so much that in Jesus we are forgiven. In Jesus we are set free. In Jesus we are not defined by any sinful past, but we're defined by your love, by the cross. So in Jesus, I pray right now, anyone who feels that there is a shame or a guilt or something weighing them down, a past, an upbringing, God, whatever it is, God, that's holding, weighing them down, in the name of Jesus, the loving Lord, I pray, God, that right now you would speak to these beautiful people to say that they are forgiven, they are set free, that they can walk away from the past, and from this day onwards, Lord, they can continue to walk in your grace, in your forgiveness, in your mercy, Lord, as you begin to grow them. So, Lord, I pray against the evil one who wants to always bring us back and point us to our shame and our guilt. I pray against this evil scheme. And I pray right now there's a more of an awareness of your love through your Spirit right now. So, God, I pray that prayer right now for all those who've raised their hand. God, what you did to the paralytic, you can do to us. And I know that in you we are forgiven. So Lord, may we live that life of freedom. Oh Lord, would you help us? Thank you so much that we are reminded this morning that we need faithful friends. God, surround us with good friends who put their faith in Jesus. A faith that is relentless, a faith that is fearless and selfless to help us draw closer to Jesus. For anyone here this morning who still want to do Christianity by themselves, I pray, Lord, that you speak to them and say, no, we need each other. We need to do life together. We need one another, Lord. For those with barriers that are so high up, I pray in the name of Jesus, you'll break down those barriers, that we would welcome people into our circle. Oh, Lord, we need more people to help us. It's very hard being a Christian, Lord, and we need each other. So, Lord, would you help us? I pray right now for my leaders and anyone here at Sun Life Church right now that you're speaking to them, that they are to be faithful friends. So I pray for them right now that you give them boldness and courage, confidence to reach out, to open up their homes, to be generous with their time, to speak truth in love, to help others who are struggling, to draw them closer to Jesus. So Lord, I pray for them. And God, for all of us who've made the decision to follow Jesus, Lord, I know it's hard. I know at times people are suspicious towards our faith. But Lord, I pray that never breeds anger. But that's an opportunity for us to just show them something that they've never seen before. That you love them as well. That you sent your Son to die for us. Thank you, God. Thank you for your amazing word. Lord, help us, Lord, this week to live out your truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, would you be upstanding as we just spend some time just in